Thanks for checking out this week's episode of Keeping It 99, episode 25. This week's episode is, it's pretty late, but there's reasons for that. I had a baby. That's right, my wife had a baby, gave birth to our third child, our very first daughter, our last kid. This is our last kid. The trilogy is over. But Paige Lucille Eagle was born, and I couldn't be happier. So time's been a little, limited, I guess you could say. A lot of visitors, a lot of, taking care of the stuff that you take care of with babies. And if you don't think babies are fucking metal, then let me tell you something. When you're born and you come into this world, you're covered in blood, and the first thing you do is scream your lungs out. It's pretty fucking metal. But later this week, we're still going to have another episode, too. Episode 26 will be coming out this week. And going to be laced with heavy metal news. A lot of cool stuff. I went to the Mushroom Head show. And so, we get to talk about the Super Buick. I ran into a lot of cool old friends. And Rubber City Redbeard, in this week's episode, today's episode, the episode you're listening to now, he went to UFC. And we talk a lot about CM Punk. A lot about CM Punk. And a little bit about Korn and Limp Bizkit. Yeah, I bet you didn't see that coming. Still a fun episode, a lot of rants, raves, you'll hear it all. So let's get into this episode, shall we? I'm gonna stop talking, I'm exhausted. This week's episode of Keeping It 99 is brought to you by Oscar Mayer.
Worms eat dirt and bugs eat worms and bats eat bugs and cats eat bats and dogs eat cats.
Heavyweight champion. How good does that sound, sir?
OH! After Danny Ohio, Cleveland!
The baddest man on the planet, ladies and gentlemen!
Welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world of heavy metal, rock and roll, Northeast Ohio, and sometimes none of that. Like, sometimes it just is what it is. Keeping It 99, it is what it is. My name is Eagle, and I am joined by the one, the only,
Rubber City Redbeard.
That's me.
Metal as
It's been a heck of a week, man. This weekend was wild.
Yeah, this weekend was great. I think you had a bigger week than me.
I had a daughter. My daughter's here.
Oh!
Yes!
Yay! Yes! Fuck yes!
Paige Lucille.
Oh, they came home today. Today is the day they came home. I'm happy as shit. The wife's doing great. She's a happy mama.
Yeah, I said, how you doing? She said, a little sore. Eh. Yeah. You just had a fucking human come out of your body.
Yeah.
You're sore.
And then on top of that, she had a fucking tubal surgery. So, she's never having babies again, which is awesome. Because if she was to ever leave me again, I never have to worry about her starting a new family with another dude.
Right.
Ha ha, baby.
Right.
Ugh.
Ugh. I'm so happy you got a new baby. She's so beautiful, man. So beautiful. I mean, the pictures don't do her justice. Her cute little chubby cheeks.
Yeah.
And man, she was locked on Evan.
Right?
Like, she was just staring at her big brother like, you are my protector. And I know this.
He really is too, man. Those him and his little brother, like, now, they are in love with this girl.
Now, when I got here, Timmy and Evan were outside playing.
Mm-hmm.
Timmy was like a zombie.
That makes sense.
And he was chasing after Evan, but okay. He had a stick, and he's just whacking Evan with his stick.
Oh,
like,
he'd
get up close and be like, whack! And Evan's like, ah! And they take it so well, because, like, Evan's, like, any other kid would be like, Mom, Dad, like, Terry's hit me with a stick. He's laughing it off. And it wasn't a small stick. I mean, he had, like, a good little chunk of wood in his hand, you know?
Pulled a branch off the tree.
Just running around, laughing, smacking him with a stick.
That's my boys!
People are going to be in trouble when they mess with Paige.
No shit, man.
I'm just saying.
As of right now, her eye colors can change, but she's got black hair and black, dark brownish, blackish hair and hazel eyes. And I'm like, oh, fuck. have to beat people with those sticks that my kids are hitting each other with.
Get it? Time to get a shotgun.
But yeah, I feel hashtag blessed, man. She came out perfectly healthy. Everything's great.
Yeah, mom's healthy, baby's healthy.
So we welcome her to the Keeping It 99 family.
Yes, yeah, welcome to that family. Don't go near that family. You just stay in the Eagle family. Keeping It 99 family, that's rough. You know, like regardless of what you have, I guess, I mean, it doesn't matter as long as the baby's healthy and shit, but I'm glad you had a girl. I'm glad it wasn't a third boy.
Yeah,
us too. Like, I was my mom's last chance at a girl.
Yeah.
Right? Because she wanted a daughter. Now, she had a daughter when she was young, and she was in the military at the time. Her best friend was pregnant, had a kid. That child, unfortunately, passed away. Mm. My mom felt that the position that she was in when she was in the military, whatever was going on with her, and I don't know what the fuck was going on with her back then, that her friend would be better suited to raise her daughter. So my mom gave her daughter up for adoption to her best friend who just lost their kid.
Oh, okay.
Right. So my mom really wanted a daughter, you know, and that did not work out. Like, there was just boys stuffed all up in my dad's balls. She got three rotten ass fucking boys.
Yeah, if we would have had if it was gonna be a boy, we were definitely gonna be like, ah, fuck. There's just we lost.
We lost. Yep.
But this girl's precious, man.
Super cute.
Everybody in the family. Super everybody cute. In the family's fucking just beyond.
She's gonna hate being like three though. Like, I remember when I was like three.
Yeah.
And people would just constantly pinch my cheeks because I got them cheeks too.
Oh, yeah.
Constantly pinching my cheeks. Ladies, pinching my cheeks. She's going to get her cheeks pinched.
She's the light of my life, man. So, yeah, had the kids. So, no more talking about when we're going to have a kid. She's here. She's healthy. Everything's good.
It's a carbon footprint of a person, and she's going to eat a bunch of food and poop everywhere. And
yeah. I was telling you earlier, like, my emotions have been fucking through the roof lately. Like, I sat with my daughter in the hospital room on the cell phone. I played Closer to the Heart just to calm her down.
Yeah.
And it calmed her down. And, like, I just started losing it. Just losing it. Like, this moment right here.
She was born loving Rush.
I put a picture up on my Facebook page, you know, making the announcement. And I knew that it was going to get feedback, and I didn't care. I just felt like it was a thing that, let your friends know, let some extended family that might not know yet, be like, here's a picture of my baby. Since we're friends on Facebook, you might be interested in this.
Yeah.
I was so overwhelmed by the feedback that I just wanted to write everybody individual, like, handwritten letters of appreciation for them being in my life.
Slide them in a nice envelope with a wax seal.
Yeah. So, yeah, man.
Congrats to you guys, man. Yay.
Yay. This little girl turned me into a big old pussy.
You're a big mushy guy.
Speaking of pussies, you saw CM Punk rat fight at UFC. You were there live in Cleveland, Ohio.
I was. You have to kind of rephrase that, though, because I didn't watch CM Punk fight at all.
No. I have never seen a person get beat up as bad.
I was really surprised by, like, how it went down, right? Like, because I knew he was going to get beat. And I knew it wasn't going to last long. There's just no way he was going to walk into that octagon and win or even compete. I knew that, man. Like, he hasn't had enough training. It's just,
right.
You're going up against a young kid, but that young kid's been doing it since he was like four or some shit. So you're just way out of your league, dude. So for a wrestler, for those of you that didn't see this fucking fight, it was over real quick. Almost immediately. Like, as soon as they said fight and he kind of marched across the fucking octagon, it was done as soon as it hit the mat.
His entrance was longer than the fight.
Oh, God. When he paused getting into the octagon, he pauses
to take it in.
To look to the crowd like he's still in the fucking WWE. Get in the fucking ring and fight, pussy.
Should have stayed in the WWE, motherfucker.
You should have, but he did make some serious fucking bank.
Yeah. Oh,
$500,000 fucking dollars for this loss, dude.
And that buy rate, like, he doubled that just by being there. He doubled that for the company easily, just one night.
For sure. So he made a lot of coin. Whatever. So the fight starts. He goes over. and Mickey Gall kind of weak-ass fake, but he fakes high and just goes low for a wrestler. Mm-hmm. CM Punk's a wrestler. He's wrestled his whole life. For a guy who's wrestled his whole life to walk into somebody standing straight up. And he did. He just walked right into him. He walked right into a takedown.
How the fuck do you do that?
How do you walk right into a takedown? You're a fucking wrestler, dude.
Right?
So now your wrestling skills come into question. With me. I don't think you're that good of a wrestler. Are you an athlete? Yeah, you work out and shit. You got some tattoos. You're fucking straight edge, bro. You suck.
Yeah, that's good.
On so many levels, man. Seriously, you fucking suck. And you gave your little fucking heartfelt speech after the fight, which I think you probably rehearsed in a mirror the night before at the hotel.
He said that exact same speech in the little documentary, the four-part series that they made, The Evolution of Punk, leading up to the fight on fucking Fight Network or Fox Sports.
Okay.
For 4 weeks, man, you saw beginning of his training and then the evolution of Punk. And right away in the very first part of the series, he gave the whole I want to be an inspiration to anybody who's ever felt picked on or fucked with or stepped on, and anybody who feels different. And I want to show them that you can, achieve your goals through hard work. You know who knows this already? Everybody, motherfucker. You're not my inspiration, CM Punk. And this is, I was so excited. I have a lot of friends that are big time wrestling fans like myself. And they all gave me, all of them gave me the same spiel. They go, look, man, he at least had the balls to go in to the UFC and actually try something. It's he got signed before he ever started fucking training because he was a fucking name. Okay?
He knew he was gonna make money.
Yeah. Why was he a fucking name? Because he was in pro wrestling, man. Yeah. And he was an amazing pro wrestler. One of my favorites of all time. Straight up. Because as a wrestling fan, man, for years and years and years, I've been picked on. It's you mentioned you like ICP, or you mentioned that you like comic books, any of that kind of shit. People fuck with you, especially your peers, right? When it comes to pro wrestling, nobody fucks with pro wrestling fans more than UFC fans. UFC fans more than anybody. You know that shit is fake. You are bringing it back to the 80s. That's your argument, UFC fans. And real quick, I want to point out, I have nothing against UFC. I watched the show. I enjoyed it. I like pro wrestling more because the matches are more Bruce Lee fights. It's entertainment. Exactly. But I was entertained by some of those fights. I was entertained by Uriah Faber. I was entertained by the Cleveland crowd during that Stipe match, man. Yeah. I was into it. But am I going to spend $60 to watch the next one? Probably not, because it's hit or miss in those matches. Professional wrestling, it's usually hit. These guys now, they are awesome entertainers. They are awesome choreographers. They really know how to put on a good back and forth match. And I like watching it. It's like watching Bruce Lee. Everybody always goes, Bruce Lee was a bad motherfucker. Those fights were fake. It was a movie. There were fake fucking fights. I don't know. Maybe Bruce Lee was a bitch. Maybe if he would have gotten the ring with that Justin Bieber looking motherfucker, maybe he would have got taken out even less time than CM Punk. We don't know, because every fight we ever saw him in was fake. It was.
That we ever saw.
But we have a respect for him.
But there is a history of Bruce Lee fighting.
I know.
And beating the fuck out of everybody.
I know. He's a legend. I love Bruce Lee as well. And I like UFC. But as a wrestling fan, it's oh my God, UFC fans are really going to eat this motherfucker alive. Now, him losing brought legitimacy to the UFC because Mickey Gall wasn't even a UFC fighter. He was just some fucking kid.
Guy. Yeah, he was just some guy.
Just some scrub.
Or some shit.
Right? And then this kid shows that it's just I've never seen anybody get beat up like CM Punk. Never in my life. Not in real life. Never on TV. I got a new dance called the CM Punk. You just put your arms in front of your fucking face and duck.
I was up in the stands. I was up in the stands and I was like, oh, you turtled up. Why are you turtling up? Because he went into the turtle mode instantly.
So insane. Now,
he turtled up instantly and I knew that fight was over.
Now, I always thought CM Punk was the guy that I could go to to UFC fans, but to anybody who knocked wrestling. That shit's corny. That shit's stupid. CM Punk was my go-to. What about this dude, though? We got this guy. This guy's straight edge, so he doesn't, he's not gonna Chris Benoit, motherfucker. Or he's not gonna, you know, Brutus Barber Beefcake, like, leave a bag of fucking cocaine on a train. This guy's cool. He listens to awesome music. He's covered in tattoos. He's different.
He promotes sobriety.
He's cool. He was actually a part of pro wrestling in the WWE that I could, like, I know you hate wrestling, bro, but check out this CM Punk promo that he cut back in 2011. You know, because he cut this promo that ended up making it on SportsCenter and made it in all kinds of headlines everywhere on the internet. He did a shoot interview where he started saying, like, Vince McMahon supports himself with a bunch of douchebag yes men. And fuck this company. Fuck all of you guys. And then in the storyline, he ends up winning the championship, leaving with it. We don't know what's going to happen. CM Punk was fucking cool. He kept me into wrestling at a time when I could have possibly gotten out. Yeah. So that right after that Attitude Era, like, the whole bra and panty thing was getting ridiculous. The characters were getting ridiculous. It was a cookie cutter business. Every dude looked like this jacked up, perfectly shaved, oiled guy. They all looked like John Cena. And if you didn't look like John Cena, get the fuck out of here.
It was like porn wrestling for a second.
For a while.
That's when I jumped. I was like, I'm out.
It was the fucking worst. And then when it became PG and it became cookie cutter and it was just so like, every week, like, I'm gonna whip your butt. It's like, okay, this here isn't working either for me. All these guys are just jacked and they can't wrestle. The matches are boring. Watching the show, boring. CM Punk is a guy who changed that because he came in like, fuck you, motherfuckers. Fuck you, big jacked up boo boo boo. He spoke his mind. He cut his own promos. He didn't have anybody write shit for him. And he made wrestling cool for a lot of wrestling fans who were feeling like, I can't even defend this thing that I love anymore to anybody. Yeah, CM Punk brought it in. So to me, it's like he was sitting at our lunch table. He was the guy that made our lunch table like the coolest. He was the guy that cracked all the jokes. He was the leader of the lunch table. And for him to go to UFC, because this guy could have went and did anything. He writes some comic books, like did work on some Thor comics and shit. It's like, yeah, go do that. Go act. Start a podcast. Join a band. Learn an instrument. Do anything you want. But him going to UFC was like him going to the table that beat up our lunch table every day.
Yeah.
It was that exact same thing because the UFC guys are the guys like, fucking pussies. And we're like, dude, we know it's fake. We know. That's the one argument the UFC fans who hate wrestling use. Is, you know, that shit's, that's why I like UFC. That shit's real. That shit's fake. It's like, I get it. But like, you don't have to fuck with me about it. And you can come up with something else. So it's like him he got up. As soon as he left pro wrestling, all he did was just like, Triple H was a dick. And see, Vince McMahon was a dick. They didn't give me what I wanted. I wanted to be the main event. And they gave it to The Miz. And that makes no sense. So, you know, fuck you guys. I'm going to go prove myself somewhere. So to see him get his ass beat, sitting at those kids' table by those kids was awesome.
Yeah, it felt good.
Was awesome. So any UFC fan that's hit me up, and there's been multiple, and they hit me up, and they're just like, your boy got beat. I'm like, fuck him. He left me. Because not only did he leave, he started making fun of wrestling fans. Like, all these dumb motherfuckers liking fake fighting, and like, you know, it's fake fighting. It's like, fuck off, dude. You are now just using that same argument that you used to fucking have to battle yourself. This was a guy who wanted to become a pro wrestler when he was like 10. This is a guy who's yeah. watched pro wrestling his entire life. Tells the story a billion times. I saw Superfly Jimmy Snuka get hit over the head with a coconut by Roddy Piper, and I was in love. I started watching ECW. I was going through shit with my mom and dad. They were all there buying cigarettes and beer instead of Christmas presents because he's got daddy issues. CM Punk is a guy who legit has a restraining order on both of his fucking parents right now because he's got daddy issues. Why did he leave WWE? Daddy issues. Triple H and Vince McDaddy didn't fucking let me be the main event.
It's typical little fucking whiner. Like, he thinks he's a hard ass because he's gone through so much in his life, and then he ends up getting slapped around.
And another one of the reasons that he left WWE was he stated it in his big old promo in fucking 2011 that there's all these part-timers, guys like The Rock, that come in and they just work part-time. Guys like Brock Lesnar, they work 3 fights a year. They take somebody's spot on the card that has worked for years and years and years to get that spot. What the fuck did he do? He went to the UFC and took somebody's spot. Now, given the fact that he was there, Miocic, is that how you pronounce his name? Miocic?
Miocic.
Miocic. Fucking Stipe. We'll just call him Stipe. Yeah, Stipe. Stipe got paid hella fucking money because of CM Punk's presence there. Okay? Like, you know, because they all get the cuts from the fucking pay-per-view. So Stipe made some more money for it. UFC blew up because, like I said, it legitimized UFC even more. It's like the bottom guy can beat up anybody. Like, hardcore. You have to be the baddest of the bad to be in this company. And Mickey Gall showed that shit. And kudos to that kid. It was fun seeing a grown-ass man get beat up by Justin Bieber. It was the shit. It was the shit. But I'm mad at CM Punk because I love him. I love him so much. And I want him to love wrestling because his passion for wrestling helped keep my passion up for years until we got guys like Kevin Owens and all these tremendous wrestlers. Watch wrestling. Tonight, the Cruiserweight Classic. Wrestling is awesome now. And CM Punk's a huge part of that. But the fact that he left and he was like, fuck you guys. Not only am I leaving, but fuck you guys. I was like, well, why fuck me, man? He blocked me on Twitter and I never tweeted at the guy. Blocked me. Because I was I had a wrestling name. I said something about like, wish CM Punk would come back. Hopefully CM Punk will be there. He's like, block this. So fuck, man. And that whole speech that he gave at the after the rehearsed speech that you were talking about.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Dude, fuck that speech. Fuck that dream catcher bullshit, man.
And if he's already given that speech and then you want to fucking...
Yeah.
Do it again.
Right.
Do it again. Like, whatever, man. It's honestly the same speech that almost every band on the road nowadays comes in and gives.
Everybody and everything.
Anybody that's feeling depressed, desperate, anything, you just got to talk to somebody. There's somebody there for you. Blah, 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 blah.
This one's for you. This one's for you, guys. Be your own role model. Like, use your people in your life can be your... My people in my life are the people that I look up to the most. You know what I mean? Like,
right. I just think a lot of people think they can do it. They think that they can...
It's look, insane! Look, man, there it's was... It's insane!
I guarantee you, half the fucking dudes in that arena that night, in their head, it was them in the ring. Do you know what I mean? Because so many guys believe they're that guy. And so many guys turn out to be CM Punk.
Was there
walking right into a takedown and getting your fucking face smashed?
Right.
So,
was there a split second during the entrance that you thought maybe he can do it?
Nope.
Maybe he can do it.
No.
See, I did because I don't watch a lot of UFC, but I had it in my head. We've talked about it multiple times. Like CM Punk's gonna get his ass beat, but Punk when he went out and did that wrestling entrance, I was like, this reminds me of the wrestling entrance. And yeah. Being a wrestling fan, you know, it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. So when he did that pause and he looked out and he sunk the crowd in, like...
That was the moment that I knew he was losing.
See, I saw it and I was just like, he's really feeling amped up right now. But as soon as the fucking match started, the fight started, I was just like, oh, shit. Oh, dude, it's over. It's over. Like, 15 seconds in, you're like, it's over.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Keith Peterson has called a stop to this contest at 2 minutes, 14 seconds of the very first round, declaring the winner by submission due to a rear naked choke, Mickey Gall!
You gotta give him respect. I don't have to give that. That was a stupid move.
Just so you know, that's exactly what Buddy said. Because on the way out of the arena, Ed looks at Buddy and goes, I mean, you got to give the guy some respect for stepping in the ring. And Buddy, loud as fuck, goes, I don't have to give anybody shit.
No, that guy got beat up for 2 minutes for $500,000. Yeah. Do I respect that? No. He's a celebrity who got his... And now, what happens now? Does he stay in UFC? Does Dana keep him?
Nope. He already said that if he's going to fight again, it's not going to be under the UFC banner.
It's going to be where?
He's going to have to go to
Bellator.
A lower organization and fight his way back up to the UFC and show that he's actually going to do it. Is he going to do that? He's not going to do that, dude. He's 36 years old. He just collected $500,000 fucking paycheck. Probably some more money on top of it if he bet against himself, which would probably be fucking smart.
But he was like four, I forget what the odds were.
He got beat up by Drama from Entourage. Bro.
Oh, shit. Like a young-ass
Drama from Entourage. Mickey Gall looks just like Drama from Entourage.
Oh, I've been waiting for this fight for so long.
But when he stepped up on the ring and he did that little gaze out into the crowd or whatever and kind of smiled and was like, I knew he was going to lose right there. Because it was fake. It was fake as fuck. You're walking into something extremely real and you're still doing your fake-ass wrestling shit. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? Just fucking... You did not look prepared from jump. You didn't look prepared walking down the fucking aisle, dude. You didn't look prepared when you stepped up on the fucking apron. You did not look prepared.
You collected a You didn't a look prepared.
Tag. Got some money.
Got some money.
Look, I wish my name could get me into a position to where I could take an ass whooping for fucking $500,000. Right now, I wish I could fucking get into a fight over my name for $500,000. Like, I can't even do that shit. $500,000 just because of your fucking name and the WWE. What, I mean, balls? No. Wallet? Yes. Like, 100%. He trained for two years to fucking walk 10 steps right into a takedown.
Yeah.
He trained for two fucking years. He trained his whole fucking life as a wrestler. Yeah. And you're telling me he trained two years to walk into a takedown and he deserves $500,000. He deserves to get his fucking money taken away and give it to Triple H and have Triple H go spend it on cocaine and hookers and ass-banging whores.
He deserves it. He deserves it based off of the amount of pay-per-view buys that they fucking got based off of his name.
I guess, man.
He deserves it for that. He's the one who drew eyes. I haven't watched UFC in forever.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of the prelims. I watched every single fight that night.
Yeah.
And all I kept thinking about, I was like, who the fuck is booking this? Who's booking this match? Oh, that's real. That's right. It's real. That's why it's boring and slightly homosexual.
I stopped watching the UFC a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually watching them. Just because of all the fucking bullshit between, you know, Dana, the Fertittas, how the fucking fighters were getting paid.
Yeah.
Or not getting paid. And how they were getting fucking loaded. You know? And it's like...
And how many people in the UFC just get into some form of trouble? How many matches or how many fights end up getting canceled like a week before... You know, what's going to happen with Jon Jones? Is he even going to be able to make it? Oh, how many dudes are getting popped? Brock Lesnar got popped.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
Well, because the whole Conor McGregor deal, right? Because Conor McGregor wasn't good. He ended up not being on that fight. He was supposed to be on that fight, but he didn't show up for some press conference thing. And Dana was like sticking to his guns. Like, Conor's not going to be on this fucking fight with Diaz, right? And then the Jones ended up having to cancel out. So they were desperate. They needed somebody. Brock was like, I can do it. I'm on the juice. And they're like, okay. So Brock got popped. Brock got popped 9 days before the fight. And he got popped on the day of the fight. They didn't do shit because they were like, this is a one-time deal anyway. It's a one-time deal anyway. So let him go in and maybe he'll win. Maybe he'll lose, whatever. But we're going to get, because the outcome didn't matter in that fight. Hey, he won. And then it came out that they already knew. And they're like, oh, yeah, like, but, you know, because they couldn't afford canceling another main event on that fucking show. Yeah,
at the same time, you're jeopardizing Mark Hunt's fucking
And that's what well-being. Mark Hunt said. Yeah, that's exactly what Mark Hunt
said. He deserved every bit of that purse.
Give me that money.
He deserved every bit of it because you're fucking jeopardizing somebody's career and life because you want some fucking revenue.
And get this. Brock Lesnar's deal with WWE states that he doesn't have to get tested for shit. And if he does get tested for some outside thing, that they can't do anything about it. Which is really ironic because just a year ago, Billy Gunn, who was a trainer, he's a wrestler, former DX, New Age Outlaw.
I remember.
A trainer in NXT. He was doing some like local weightlifting competition. He got popped for that. For some local thing nobody even knew about. It made the internet, and they fired his ass over it because they were like, sorry. He's not a performer. He's not putting anybody at risk, but they still fired him. But Brock Lesnar got to come back and fight Randy Orton. And
smashed his face.
He gave him 10 staples in his head by opening him up the hard way. Randy Orton bled buckets.
And then he stood over him and smiled.
Yeah, right?
I was like, God damn, dude.
There's a tour, man. There's a tour coming up. I know you're excited. We're all excited here because nu metal was the shit back in the day, I hear. And Korn and Limp Bizkit is going back on the road together. They're going to be doing a tour. And what's the whole idea? I read it. I think you read it. You know, nu metal's coming back in a major way.
Yeah, but it's not.
No, it's not.
it wasn't even around when it was around, really.
Oh, my God. Yeah, how long did that last? And how many bands made it before it just completely became the corniest, dumb shit?
It died at Follow the Leader.
I think I agree with that 100%, to be honest with you. Follow the Leader was the first corn record that I heard that I was like, oh, no.
No, thank you.
Nope.
Yeah, I think that was. I think it died right around Follow the Leader. Right,
that was out there. That was the most approachable, you know, record for people that weren't really into metal or even corn. Like, it was like the record that they were just like, we're making this trying to broaden the audience. And you know how it goes, man, when you're diehard into a band and, like, that band's trying to hang out with other people. You know, you're like, fuck. I don't think I want to hang out with this band anymore. Because that's what happened with Korn. I heard that shit. I heard that all on the Family song. And they're like, we got Fred on this track. We got the guy from the Deftones. And we're cool with Ice Cube. And I was like, why aren't you guys just like, you know, talking about beating the fuck out of bullies anymore? You know, and but they, you know why? Because they got the life. Yeah, that record sucked. I agree with that. And then Significant Other. Like, Limp Bizkit just jumped from awesome, I just said it, awesome record to Significant Other. And it was like, oh, man, dude, whoa. And then they just got worse and worse and worse. And to the point where 10 years...
$3 Bill, y'all, was the good album.
Yep.
That's it.
For over a decade, Limp Bizkit has been the butt of every joke. Like, just to even go, I like Limp Bizkit, blah. But now, like, for whatever reason, nostalgia kicks in on people. Yeah. And people go, oh, I love that shit again. And we were talking about that with the Rob Zombie Korn tour. We're just like, you know, it's a nostalgia fest for some. For other people, they've actually been into that shit for the past 15 years.
Right.
And so, you know, with Limp Bizkit, it's not like Limp Bizkit's had any radio hits for the past 10 years. That's the big difference between Rob Zombie and
more
Limp Bizkit.
Right? More than 10 years.
Probably more than 10 years. Because, like, what was the last record that Limp Bizkit did that ended up getting, like, actual airplay? Do you know? Maybe the third record?
No, it was the hot dog flavored water. Yeah. Chocolate Starfish and the hot dog flavored water.
But they're a terrible band. That's the thing. It's like they suck. They fucking suck.
I like how some people wanted to blame it on, like, Wes Borland leaving.
Oh, really?
They sucked because of Wes Borland leaving. Trust me. They sucked when he was there.
Yeah, they did. And they suck when he's back. Like, they just suck. They fucking suck. I mean, I can still listen to $3 Bill Y'all and be like, isn't that crazy that how good this was and what they could have...
Because it was good.
But you can't listen to it and be like, rock out to it now as an adult because you know the end of the story.
Yeah. No. I can't rock out to it. I can listen to it in my car. Like, I could drive around and listen to it and enjoy the songs that I used to enjoy.
Yeah.
But there is no, like, getting into it and headbanging or fucking anything.
Because it comes with that side chuckle. Like, anytime I hear a Limp Bizkit song that I like from the first record,
Stalemate,
I'm always like...
Stalemate, man. Stalemate was such a good song.
Such a good song.
And you listen to it, and it's like, where did you guys go? Where'd you go? You were there for a second. Then you left.
They jumped straight into the nookie. Like, they went straight for the cash. When I first met my wife, the night that I met my wife and I hit on her, yeah, the first thing I think I said, you know, not the first, but like one of the first things I said to her was like, you got a boyfriend? She said, no. I was like, you want one? And boom, now we're married, just had a third kid. So that, like, that line works, guys. She was wearing a Limp Bizkit shirt.
Oh, yeah. That's how you need to talk to her.
Yeah.
You're like, oh.
Yeah, because I was just, this is what I told, the premise of our relationship that night, I told her, I go, I was like, you should come over to my apartment and listen to, like, real music. Because they were already into this, like, second album phase. And I was like, you should come. And so she came over.
The Nookie. Oh, the Nookie.
And you know what my idea of good music was? The band that I kept telling her about was Power Man 5000.
Oh, wow.
Power Man 5000 was awesome. They were awesome. Mega Kung Fu Radio.
Yeah.
Mega Kung Fu Radio. You listen to it and pretend that it's Clutch, it'll be one of your three favorite Clutch records.
Come on.
I'm dead serious. Listen to it like it's a Clutch record.
I won't.
It will be like one. Mega Kung Fu Radio is the shit. Okay. Beginning to end.
I'm going to listen to it just because you told me to listen to it, but I'm going to have a hard time trying to make believe
it would be what if Clutch made that record, it'd be one of your favorite Clutch records. I'm not going to say not top one or two. Definitely top three.
You didn't say that. tell me you didn't just say that.
Because I absolutely love it. And I even love the Spaceman shit that they did with Tonight the Stars Revolt. The second record that they did, they jumped into the new metal scene. I mean, because the first record was a lot of rap. Like, you know, he had like this like cool fucking funky groove on Mega Kung Fu Radio. And he was saying all kinds of creepy shit because, you know, I mean, he's Rob Zombie's little brother. So he was following that lead, but it really, really worked. That band was dope. And then they completely transformed into these Spacemen. And it actually really worked. I mean, it really... I like Tonight the Stars Revolt. And then after that, I just fell the fuck off altogether. And that's... I don't know if it's like that with you, but like for me, I fall out completely usually after a band's second or third record anyway. I'll like that band for a long time too, based off that early shit, but it's... Sometimes after people get to a certain point in their career...
They
I'm like, you
suck.
Yeah, it's like you're not doing it for you anymore. You're not doing it for the same reasons, period.
Right,
whatever,
you're
whatever's
doing it because
changed.
You have a fucking contract to fulfill and you got to put out these albums to get off this fucking contract.
Yeah.
And you go live on your fucking 200-acre ranch, whatever. It, like, I, you know.
But yeah, I mean, Limp Bizkit was fucking huge.
Huge.
They were huge. And I don't know who's going to go see this, and I don't know why you would want to. But, you know, power to you, I guess. And, Fred Durst is a piece of shit, and he used to be cool, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to call him a piece of shit. He's just...
Keep rolling.
It's just not creative or good, you know what I mean? Like, it's just somebody who just somehow got by. They got lucky. They won the lottery.
Just have a Pepsi, bro. That wasn't nobody else's. He totally wrote that.
The fact that he even, like, quoted Suicidal Tendencies made him
right.
that much cooler. I was like, yes!
That's, yeah.
Yeah!
I'm familiar with that.
He likes Suicidal Tendencies.
He likes things that I'm into.
Exactly, man.
And then the second album.
Boom.
Oh, look at that. Sheep and wolf's clothing. That's right. I said sheep and wolf's clothing.
That was it. That was it in a nutshell.
Just want Pepsi. Give me one chill with my seeds. I'm running back to Trinity. Drink you up because I'm lazy. It's your word to help the crazy. I'm not crazy.
We know our MMA and WWE, goddammit.
We know stuff.
We know stuff.
No stuff.
Not a lot of stuff, but some stuff.
Do you know what else I know? The guys from STEM.
STEM, man.
STEM.
They
is your badass band of the week.
They provided music for some MMA fights and shit, right?
Well, no, they are the UFC anthem.
They are the anthem?
They are the anthem.
Shut up, that's wild.
That's the Face the Pain song.
Really?
Yes. That is STEM. They got that deal many, many, many years ago, and UFC has used three or four of their songs, I believe, over the years, between The Ultimate Fighter, the pay-per-views, you know, every time the UFC comes on, that's what you hear is STEM.
Yeah.
They toured with Caligo a lot back in the day. They were really close with those guys, so that was, you know, how I was involved.
Yeah,
with the STEM boys.
And if
shit.
You don't know who Caligo is, one day we're gonna have an entire episode about
just who Caligo is.
About Caligo.
All about Caligo. Who the fuck is Caligo?
Why did they break up? Because they're young and stupid.
Dummies.
Love them.
So, yeah, STEM. Back then, Louis was singing. Joe on guitar. Joe's the only member that was left. And I want to say he's like doing some country shit now.
Really?
Yeah. Joe's a great guy. Just had twins.
Oh, congratulations.
Last week. So, yeah, congratulations to you, Joe.
My real quick, my daughter was born on September 11th, and I told my mom, I said, well, I was like, there's no jokes that you can make about this. I wanted her to have the baby on Labor Day. Funny joke, but my wife goes into labor on Labor Day.
Labor Day.
I was like, but September 11th, there's nothing funny. I was like, unless I had twins.
And then it would have...
Then my mom just looked at me with just shock and awe.
Like, how do you...
How did you just say that?
You're going to hell.
But congratulations, brother, on the twins. That's wonderful, man.
Yeah.
Kids are the shit, right, bro?
Great band, though. I can't remember their drummer's name at the time. I want to say it was Rich that played drums back then. And Russ was playing bass. Russ is like this fucking 7 foot tall... he had like these crazy braid dreadlock thing. I don't know. Whatever. He tried to fuck my girlfriend.
Really?
He wanted to fuck my girlfriend.
Mm.
Couldn't. That's right. So yeah, we're gonna fucking play the UFC fight song.
I was looking. I'm looking at their Wikipedia. Did you know that Stem's first concert was opening for major label recording artist Seven Dust? Very first concert ever. Got to open up for a mediocre band that people are overrate.
I like Seven Dust.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it.
I like them.
I was waiting for it.
I do. I don't like all their stuff, but I do like them.
John. Hey, what's up, man? My name's Clint.
He's such a nice dude, though.
My name's Clint. Like, they can be the nice dudes.
LeJon is one of the smoothest cats, man.
You're talking about new metal. They were part of that new metal.
But they're the only ones from that scene that are still like relevant. Like they've been touring.
What was that song that they had, Bitch?
Yeah.
That song?
Yeah, Bitch.
Yeah.
There's a few other ones. Terminator?
Some of my best friends in the world. Actually, most of my friends that are into metal like Seven Dust.
Yeah.
So I'm the outcast in that one. I'm the outcast within my own clique.
Yeah, like
I'm just like, oh, I don't get it. And they're like, you just don't like people who can actually sing and, you know, or whatever. But yeah, they opened up for Seven Dust. Then I start ripping Seven Dust. Like,
That's a good first gig.
That's a great first gig.
Yeah. Now, mind you, Seven Dust back then was playing clubs like Ron's Crossroads.
3 years in a row, they won the Buffalo Music Award for Best Hardcore Metal Act. You know what? We're going to have to start. At the end of the year, let's have an award show.
Okay.
Let's have an award show. Ooh. And let's have people submit votes. So it's not just our opinion.
Right.
We should ask people who the best of the best around here in Northeast Ohio is.
I'm gonna get trophies made.
Not just Northeast Ohio, but the country, the entire country. Because Stem's not even, they're not from here.
No, they're from Niagara.
No,
but they're from the Niagara area.
I've been to plenty of Stem shows back in the day with Caligo, seeing them at the Voodoo, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've always had a love for them. Always really cool dudes. Fucking great, great show. Great show.
Energetic, very tight. Good guys, man. Oh, Paige is in there singing metal.
Yeah, so you know what that means. That means we gotta go.
It's time.
We're gonna play you some Face the Pain. If it was a WWE song, it'd be called Fake the Pain.
Oh, good one. Bam.
I stole it off the internet. I saw it. Oh. I wish it was mine. I wish it was my joke.
I'll give it the credit.
I wish it was my joke. Next week, we'll be a lot more prepared. We'll have
stuff.
What it is you need to hear. Please forgive me.
We'll talk about other things.
Yes.
Whatever, this is what was going on this week. So, it's what we're doing.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
We both, high five, just high making five. Fun of CM Punk.
Yeah.
And listen to this badass song. You know who's not badass?
CM Punk. I'm Rubber City Redbeard.
I'm Eagle.
Rap.
Bye. Face the pain, face the pain, rip and rip to face.
Face the burn. No escape. Can you step to this? Face the burn.